I don't like this. We're pretty close here. That's what I like.
Why don't you go hang with Stimson? He's got two.
I know. Look how close they are.
Whatever you'd like, sir.
Hey, 132.
What do you want to do?
Well, we were surprised.
We're missing two.
We have a quorum?
We do have a quorum.
Oh, yeah. We have a quorum.
Doesn't work. Oh, I guess that's the right thing. All right.
All right. Everybody, welcome to today's Amador Air District Board meeting. Please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, item number one. Approval of today's agenda.
I'll move.
I have a motion to approve and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Public matters not on the agenda. Discussion items only. No action to be taken. Anybody online or here?
Nope.
Okay. Move on to administrative matters. Herminia?
We have the minutes, review and approval of the March 19th, 2024 board minutes as presented or revised.
Move to approve the minutes.
Second.
I have a motion to approve the minutes and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The next item we have is Farmer Grant Resolution 24-04. Good afternoon. My mic doesn't seem to be working. Good afternoon, board members.
Can you turn your volume up there? I think he's turning it up. Try it now.
Hello.
Ours is.
Try the other one, maybe.
I'll just scream like if it was, I'm talking.
Or try the other one. Does the other one work?
Hello, hello.
They're on, works. They're just not, the volume's still down.
Isn't there a volume thing?
Go show them how to do this job.
I know, right? How about now?
All right, Frank. Way to take charge.
I'm going to get to the bottom of this.
Hello, hello. There you go.
There we go.
That works a little bit. So we have the Farmer Grant Resolution 2404. Herminia Perry, Air Pollution Control Officers. Good afternoon, everyone. So for this item, the California Air Resources Board staff has developed the agricultural reduction measures for emission reductions, the Farmer Program, to meet the legislation objectives and help meet the state's criteria, toxic and greenhouse gas emission reduction goals. We have been participating in this Farmer Program since 2018. This resolution is just to allow us to continue to participate in the program for as long as the state will allow funding to it. So,
move to approve the resolution.
Second.
I have a motion to approve. A second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes.
Thank you.
Your next item?
Next item, we have our draft budget for fiscal year 24-25. As you can see, I have tried to mirror the budget to past budgets with expenses to match our revenues. This year, I went a little bit on the conservative approach just because the cost of operating the district has increased and the loss of resources. We did lose Ampine, so that brings in that we're losing about $20,000 to $25,000 of revenue with the loss of Ampine. The cost of operating the district every year increases about $20,000 to $25,000, and that's just based on salaries. If the union negotiates increases in salary, even though we're not part of the county, employees of the air district still receive that same incentive or COLA, so that increases the cost of the health insurance also increases. So, you know, I try to trim down the most impactful one was RC CAD program. I did trim that down by $50,000. I left $30,000 in there just in case we get a CCAD project. And going down what I have on the memo for community projects, which is line item 54120, we are budgeted at $164,936. Our smoke reduction bin program, we are putting in $55,000 from our budget, and we're getting $23,936,000 this year as an increase for AB 617 implementation funds. That is a one-time increase, though, so that an air district, another air district didn't take their money, so it got distributed among the other air districts. So that's the increase that you'll see there. The electric vehicle charging stations, I didn't change it. I still think that it's a great program. If we could, we just finished up our project with Castle Oaks, so I'm hoping that more businesses or more cities will be more enticed to participate.
So, Herminia,
sir.
On the those projects, community projects, special projects, and the Carl Moyer, it seems like we're not spending. We haven't spent a lot of the funds. Is that correct?
The only ones that we haven't really, so our smoke reduction program, that one we pretty much spend everything that's in it. Our electric vehicle charging stations, that one has been very slow.
Right.
One a year, if that.
Okay.
The wildfire outreach program, that one, when I brought it up last year to the board, it was, I am working on, and it's a slow process, it's only myself that's working on it, but I'm working on putting together a wildfire plan, the initial for the county. So the initial thought was we put $10,000 in there so that when our county gets affected by a wildfire, the air district has the resources to be able to provide residents with either home air purifiers, masks, whatever, any type of PPE equipment that we could provide to help relieve them. It could also help relieve if, you know, we set up clean air centers. That money was there, and we got approved. When I brought this up to the board, it was approved so that I could go out and buy the clean air filters and stuff like that and store them. I figured rather than spending the money and having a massive amount of air filters or air purifiers in storage, I would just keep rolling that money over and only use it if I needed to use it. So that's the reason that one hasn't moved. Special projects, which are budgeted at 105 this year, that includes the reduction of CCAD. We haven't had a CCAD project in a couple of years. So that one has not been touched, and that's why I felt it was okay to go down to $30,000 that for this fiscal year. Our small lawn equipment rebate program, I did add another portion of it, which I want to open it up to the cities now. Our school district is in the process of purchasing all their equipment, all their electric equipment, with the $25,000 that we offered to give them. And for the residential, it's picking up. Like, Stacy was able to help us get Ace Hardware on board for the ION, and it trickles in. Like, you know, just this week, I did $2,500 worth of rebates for this last week. So it's picking up, it's continuing its momentum, and everybody's very appreciative of the program. So I would like to continue those programs moving forward.
Okay, so you think that that is not that bad, huh?
I don't. It does show, and right now, based on when I put together the budget, we still have a couple of months left in the fiscal year, so that those numbers will change drastically by the next time I bring out when we close out the fiscal year.
Okay.
So there'll be more current numbers. The state aid, the Carl Moyer fire grant, those are all state funds. So the Carl Moyer, I put in $50,000, but that's pass-through money, so I don't have that money. But if we were to get a Carl Moyer project, there has to be money in there for me to be able to do the project. And even though it's from the state, I get the money, and then it passes right through the district and it goes to the recipient. There still needs to be money in the budget for it. So that one is a what if. You know, it's a placeholder if we get any. And that would cover any Carl Moyer program or any farmer grant that we get. We we're getting $21,000 for prescribed fire grants, which will cover two fiscal years. So it's going to be so it's $10,000 for fiscal year. The thousand, the remaining thousand that you see in there, that is from this fiscal year. So when they give us $10,000 each year, and it's projected for the past 3 years. So we already collected $9,000. We have spent the $9,000 already, and then we're getting a check for another for $21,000, but it's going to be dispersed into two fiscal years.
Herminia, I had a question.
Yes, sir.
Didn't we, I can't remember if it was ACTC or Airborne, I think it might have been Airborne, gave some funding to the schools for some school buses, like a grant?
The one that we did, yes, it came from the state. It was two Carl Moyer grants put together.
Have you heard how those buses are functioning?
The bus that we have, the bus that the Air District helped fund with those two, has been functioning great. I mean, I haven't heard any bad stories about it. The bus has outdid what it was supposed to do. When it was purchased, we knew going in that the bus was only supposed to run within city limits of Jackson because obviously, they didn't think it would be capable of going up country and doing the hills, and the bus has been able to do those, even loaded with students, from what I've heard.
Within the city?
No, they've done it. They've taken the bus all the way up to Pine Grove and Pioneer.
It's on one of the routes to Pine Grove. I've seen it.
Yeah, and it's
those little blue bumpers.
Yeah, but it operates in Jackson.
Yeah.
At least in the morning, almost exclusively.
I was talking to some of you over in Calaveras, and they were saying, like, they've got some buses. They haven't got them up and going yet because of charging, trying to get charging infrastructure in. But I guess it has a range of 130 miles, but I guess if you turn the air conditioning on and use it, if you run it constantly, like, the range was, like, I think it was 60 or 90 miles, I think.
Yeah. Ours got, we got upgraded, and it was just a bonus that they got. They put in BMW batteries into it, so ours has a bigger range. It also regenerates, so coming down the hill, it will regenerate. So sometimes by the time they're done with their route and they're coming back downhill, it ends up at the bus, at the district station with just as much battery as it started off with.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, it's helped. It's working.
Okay.
The school district is in process of getting, you know, another dozen of those buses, so they're pretty happy with them.
Yeah, I've been meaning to. I see that the Tesla Pepsi truck rolling into Buckhorn, and one of these days I'm going to pull over and just talk to the driver just to see what he does or doesn't like about it.
You know, on a side note with that one, my father-in-law stopped him, and he went into the truck, and he's like, it is weird. Like, the driver's sitting right smack in the middle.
Right.
And he's like, and he has all these screens, all these cameras on him, you know, so... Like I, he thought that it was really weird, but does its job.
Well, and I'm thinking that thing's heavy because it's carrying all that soda up the hill. So it's.
Have you heard a rumor that there might be a replacement company coming in for Empire?
I have heard the rumor. Nothing concrete, but from the last time I was talking, because I always ask them before. We start invoicing if they're going to renew their permits. And according to them, they still want to renew their permits this year again. But there has been that rumor that they're trying to come in. My only hesitation to believe it is that I was told that a like-for-like is coming in. I don't believe a like-for-like is coming in. The technology that Ampine had originally was very old school, was very mechanical in the sense that it had no technology, right? And so they don't make that type of machinery. And if that was the case, they wouldn't have scrapped everything from Ampine.
They didn't scrap it. It got moved to different plants.
It did. They did sell most of it.
It went to their own other facilities.
So that's my only indication that, you know, a like-for-like isn't coming in. The only other thing I would point out on the budget is you will see in the expense side I did increase the cost for our engineering specialist, and that is due to 588, and I'll talk more about it in a little bit. And the change was that I added $50,000 for the city SLRP to open up to each of the five cities to give them $10,000 to upgrade their gas-powered equipment into electric-powered equipment.
Amador City, that's half their budget, isn't it?
Santa Claus.
Shouldn't it be on a graduated scale by population?
Says Jackson.
In a perfect world.
Right? You know, I like my electric weed eater, but it's only, I have a big battery too. It's only reliable for at the most 25 minutes or half an hour. And you, if you get into heavy stuff, that decreases the time it's reliable for.
You have
it's
to
really
have
kind of a joke. I have
multiple batteries.
I have at least two of the small batteries now, which are gone. I mean, they're not usable anymore.
Mm. I'm hearing the same story from a lot of people that are coming in days, you know, that they have to buy multiple batteries just to get one part of the yard done, right?
And
no, I think what Richie said is I had the same experience. I mean, it works great for some small little light stuff. It's wonderful. Not to worry about the gas. But if you got some heavy weed eating, especially some heavy weeds, you're in trouble.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I think, you know, again, technology is not there yet. We're moving towards it, but I think it's baby steps. I do feel that our programs are helping with, especially the school one. You know, we're providing them. They're replacing units from each of the school sites, so that's going to be a big game changer for the schools, that their maintenance people will still be able to work outside while kids are there because you know, they're not getting affected by the emissions. The residential portion of it, the residents that live in cities are very happy because, you know, they have their smaller yard, so the capacity is useful for them. I do think for residents that have bigger lawns, that live upcountry, that have more property, yes, it is challenging, but I think any little bit that we can do to help them, it's beneficial to all of us in a way.
More discussion? Okay. We need action on this?
Yes, we do.
I'll entertain a motion at this time.
Well, I make a motion that we accept the preliminary budget as it is and ask to have it brought back at a future meeting for final approval.
Second.
A motion and a second to approve. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you.
Okay, next item, AB 2588 hotspots.
AB 2588, joy. So on March 11th, 2024, the Amador Air District received a public records request from the Lexington Law Group asking for each air toxic hotspots program annual report prepared pursuant to AB 2588, Health and Safety Code 44363, from 2020 to the present. I responded that we did not have any high priority facilities in my county and therefore nothing to report. At my March Capitol Board meeting and the rules section meeting, this was brought up by the other air districts. Currently, the law group has targeted all 35 air districts, with a handful of medium and large districts being legally petitioned for failing to comply with AB 2588. AB 2588 was brought to ADD's APCOs in 2014-2015. It was the former APCO understanding that this did not apply to Amador since we did not have any high priority facilities, and this message was relayed to staff. Although this statement may have been true, according to Section 44363 of the Health and Safety Code, we are still required to have to report and have public hearings. I have tasked our engineering specialist, Ray Kapai, to help me with the initial prioritization / reporting and teach me how to continue to do these reports in order to be in compliance. I have also notified County Council of a potential legal petition coming our way. ADD staff recently met with Mr. Kapai to discuss the efforts of AB 2588. Will entail for the district. This is going to be a very time-intensive workload for ADD staff. Mr. Kapai will be assisting us, but the majority of the upfront work will be needed to be done by staff. So, after reading, going deep into the, and you'll see it. The spreadsheets I included in here, those are the spreadsheets that we have to put together for each of our facilities in the county, for each of our sources in the county. We have to, based on these and on their emission factors and on the annual usage of their equipment, we have to come up with a prioritization score. And those scores can be low, medium, or intermediate, or low, high, intermediate, and high. All high priorities then raise a red flag. For each facility, we also have to do a picture that shows the distance from the emission source to the nearest house. When Ray came by, he started talking scientific methods and how to convert this to scientific method and how to reconvert it back. lots of equations, lots of mathematical equations that we have to go through. These spreadsheets, it's not as easy as just inputting a number and then it'll calculate. We do have to do some inputting here and mathematics here and there to be able to come up with that score. As of Friday, there is more air districts saying that the Lexington Law Group has sent out legal notices already to their districts, so I'm anticipating that our air district will probably get it as well. So it makes no sense to me in my head. Like, we have no high priority facilities. The only one that would have maybe we would have been able to consider would have been Ampine, based on their formaldehyde that they used in their process for putting together the particle board. They stopped using formaldehyde in 2013, which I think that was the misconception of previous APCOs was, okay, well, they stopped using it, so we don't have anything to report. But going down Ray's spreadsheets, it's not just formaldehyde. It's, you know, if you're using a gas station, the gas station has 20 other chemicals that can potentially be emitted into the atmosphere, so all those have to get accounted for in this. The diesel generators, we have to figure out the horsepower of the unit, the emission factor of the PM, and then multiply it by the number of hours it is used daily based on the number of hours it was used annually. It's going to be time-consuming. It's going to be a little of a headache, but it's not undoable. You know, we'll get it done.
This is nonsense.
It is nonsense.
It's busy work.
Yeah. And I'm of the opinion it's to tell them to go pound sand.
Right. So I wanted to keep you guys informed of what we're doing, of the steps that we're doing to be able to be in compliance. I did talk to CARB staff, and I asked them, Why now? Like, why did this not come up in 2014, 2015? Why all of a sudden is it? And they're like, no, you're in compliance. You know, we ran Ampine, which was, like I said, our highest, our only one that could potentially be a high priority. I have an email from CARB saying that I am not required to do any reporting or any advertising of the report because it's under the thresholds. But yet, if you read the rule, it says under Section 44363 that regardless, you're supposed to post and report.
What if you don't do it? What are the liabilities?
Well, right now the liability is that we might get sued from the Lexington Law Group. CARB doesn't seem to mind it. Like, it's not CARB that's coming after us. It's this law group.
Yeah, and who the hell is Lexington Law Group? Anybody know?
They are representing an environmental justice group.
We've dealt with them, and not them, but a similar one in Jackson.
And I don't know how a law group can dictate government action.
Yeah.
That would be my question.
But that's how these law groups are making their money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Correct. Exactly. Because what happened, what we were told at our CAPCOA meeting, it started with the Bay Area. The Bay Area got got the notice, and they talked to the Lexington Law Group, and they're like, we're not doing any of this. Well, neither are the other air districts doing any of this. So then that put up the red flag with the Lexington Law Group, and they're like, really? So they targeted all 35 air districts, and the APCO from the Bay Area said, you know, they're not really looking for much other than slapping our hands. If we tell them, we're sorry, we missed the debt, we didn't do what we were supposed to. We're not working diligently. We're going to do more. We're going to do the reports. All they want is money to cover their legal fees.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing. It's their legal fees are going to be bloated. And they say, okay, we can find where, okay, maybe when you threw your napkin in the garbage, you didn't crumple your napkin. So now you owe us $500,000 in legal fees. And that goes right back to our legislative bodies allowing it because they know what's going on.
Well, you've lined up all you can on this.
I have.
I think we just sit back and wait.
I am diligently working, trying to get everything so that if they do come back to us and say, hey, you're not doing it, I could tell them, look, I am working. It's not going to take me. I can't do it in a week or 2 weeks. It's only two-man shop. But I am diligently working on it, and hopefully, you know, if I can show them that we're working, we're progressing to it, they'll back down.
Well, for my two cents, this kind of garbage across the board will not stop until a general public can't pay their bills and don't have enough food to eat. They'll say what's going on, and then you might see some action. Until then, it's not going to change.
So, Herminia, what are these places in the Bay Area doing? You've been in contact with them?
So they're doing the reports. They're actually going through. But again,
so they're going through and doing what this law group wants?
Yes. What the AB 27 or 2588 requires.
But we're following that too, correct?
Yeah.
We hadn't been doing the report. Yes. So that's.
You had nothing to report on.
We didn't have anything to report on, in my view. But if you read the regulation, it states right there that you're supposed to be doing it whether or not you have any high priority facilities.
What's
supposed to prioritize them?
Calaveras and El Dorado doing, do you know?
El Dorado is currently working on them. Calaveras, she's figures. Only one person show also, so she's like, I'll just do it whenever I can. You know, I don't know what they're doing. So I could just, on my end, what I'm going to do is just get all my ducks lined up. Show good effort, good faith that I'm trying to work towards getting us in compliance. It'll take us a while, but we will get there. And so I'm chugging along and trying.
How many of these emitters do you think exist in the county by their definitions?
We have 135 sources.
Really?
And roughly 350 permits. So we don't have to do the mobile permits because they're mobile, so that doesn't fall under AB 2588. But for right now, I'm going to start with the generators, which are relatively easy, I believe. Once I get all the information, David has been working to get me all the information for the horsepower, their emission factor, and the hours that they ran. We have the information. It's just compiling everything put together. So I just crossing my fingers. I did talk to Glenn, and Glenn said, you know, just keep doing what you're doing. I will try. You know, we're not giving them money. You know, we'll fight towards not giving them money. But you know, so just do what you can, good faith, and we'll keep chugging along.
We'll just have something that you can pull out and show that we're working on it.
Correct. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Good thing is you'll be able to pass a biochemistry class after you're done with it.
I was, you know, when he's pointing out, like, I should have brought my notes because if you guys would have seen the notes, I'm like, I have no idea what the heck you're talking about, Ray, with your this and that, and you multiply this and you do this. You got this? I was like, yeah, got it. So.
All right. Well,
craziness.
I think we're pretty much in agreement. Sit back and just.
Yeah. So out of the, how far along would you say you are? 10%,
20%. Oh, no. I am 3%.
Opening the front doors.
3% of that. And that's only because I had the meeting with Ray, and we have a spreadsheet that we could potentially work with, but no, we have 3%. I could confidently say 3%.
Okay. We'll see if you could do one a week.
Right.
So in a year, that's 52.
I'll get there.
Okay, of course, you take 2 weeks off for vacation, so 50.
Well, one or two a week, it's going to take you like 5 years to get done.
And that's assuming this is going to be the big push, is getting everything lined up, getting everything set up. I do believe that once we have all these forms lined up and everything working and everything calculating correctly, and I know what numbers I need to input in there, the following years won't be as extensive. It will just be one more extra step when I have to do annual reporting or annual invoicing for my emission calculations. So I do think that the initial startup is going to be very time-consuming, but hopefully as the years go by, it'll just be another box that I have to check.
Maybe you can focus on what are the big emitters at this point?
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
So we're, like I said, I'm going to start with the generators because those seem to be right now the easiest ones that in my head I could actually see the computation and know what I'm doing. Boilers are going to be a little tricky. I'll just hit it step by step.
Has anybody discussed any of this with county council?
So I've been in...
That's Glenn.
Yeah, that's
Glenn. Glenn, okay.
So I've been in contact with them. I've sent him all my emails, all the background information.
Greg's not involved? Or
Glenn usually talks for us. Glenn will talk to Greg if need to. I did get a copy of the petition, the legal petition that was sent to San Luis Obispo, and so I sent that off to Glenn so that he gets a little background of potentially what they're asking for.
Okay.
Fun times.
Item five.
Yeah. So item number five, APCO update. We have our green waste voucher from April and May of this year. We have kicked off our program with great success in both months. We were able to hand out all 200 vouchers. Residents are extremely thankful for the program and can't express enough how much it helps them up there. So they're always, this last month we had the first month of April and May, we had about 50 to 80 people lined up waiting for us at the Pioneer Veterans Hall. So it's a great sight to pull up, and everybody's very excited to see us to get their vouchers. So hands down, a very good, great program, in my opinion. As I discussed earlier, the Castle Oaks Golf Club electric vehicle charging station has been complete. We have been working with them for 3 years, and they finally were able to get the installation and have the charging stations up and running. We did get to see them that they were operating. There was a Tesla there in the parking lot, and they used it as their guinea pig, so it got used. So we're happy to report on that one. More fun things with CARB. We have the Compliance Monitoring Strategy CMS plan, which the district was contacted by the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, to notify us that our CMS plan had expired. I've attached a copy of the last plan that was done for Amador, and I'm currently working with the EPA staff right now to update and submit our new plan for the next 6 years. My only holdup on it right now is there's a database that I need to get into to be able to pull the reports that you see in your packet that were pulled back in 2005, and once I'm able to do that, then I'll be able to finalize the plan.
Okay. And
the next thing I have is Rule 2580, which is a Title V affirmative defense rule. In August of 2023, EPA finalized a regulation that removes affirmative defense provisions from the Title V program. Affirmative defense provisions may excuse a source from noncompliance with their emission limits if they can prove that they are not able to meet them due to an emergency. That will just have to be an update to one of our rules of our Title V, because our Title V right now we haven't had to report on it because it's not operating. There isn't that big of a push for that, but that will come down the pipeline later on as a revised air district rule.
Okay.
Are you ready for the next one?
Want to say it?
I do want to say it.
Okay.
it takes a little bit.
It does.
It's perchlorobenzotrifluoride, PCBTF toxic.
That's pretty good.
What a mouthful. So this toxic has been, it's a compound identified as an exempt VOC by the EPA. As such, it, because it was exempt, lots of the auto manufacturing facilities for their use in coat paint have been using it. And now OEHA, they are in charge of, it's the Office of Environmental Health Hazard Assessment, has classified the compound as carcinogen as of June 2019 and has added it to the Prop 65 list of carcinogenic compounds. In 2020, August of 2020, OEHA adopted a cancer inhalation unit risk and slope factor. So they're also going to add it to AB 2588 under their toxic spots. So this is another compound. I don't believe that any of our auto body shops here in the county use it, but David will be in the next couple of weeks following up with each of our sources to make sure that they don't have it in the solvents that they are using for the auto bodies. If they are, South Coast has come up with a bill to actually stop, to not allow the use of PCTBF in their compound, so they will be making another a rule for South Coast to take it out and not allow the use of it. So I will take this again with baby steps and see where we're at. If we don't have to worry about it, then I won't put much effort into it.
Okay.
So what do they use it for?
They use it as a solvent in paint thinners or in paint for, you know, when they're doing, when they're painting cars or other stuff.
They're getting rid of fluorinated compounds all over the place.
Yes.
Ones that are super perfluoro.
Yep. And this one was, my only fear is that because at one point it was exempt for the VOC in the state of California, it was a lot more prominent to use because of the exemption. So hopefully here we don't have that issue, but if we do, we'll tackle it. The next thing is the National Ambient Air Quality Standards, PM2.5. So on February 7th of 2024, EPA made revisions to their primary annual National Ambient Air Quality Standard, known as NAAQS, for PM2.5 from the annual level of 12 grams to 9 grams. Although Amador does not have a PM2.5 monitor and are unclassified for PM, this change in standards will come with adjustments to our county. The reduction in numbers will eventually reduce the air quality index thresholds to be more stringent. As of now, not much to do on our end, but I will continue to follow this item for future regulations and requirements. And I included in your packet a chart of currently what the air quality standards are and the levels, and we break it down from level 1 all the way up to level 6, and it's broken down by color. I anticipate that with the NAAQS being lowered down to 9, the first level 1, 2, maybe 3 will get lowered down on that threshold, so you'll see a lot more maybe level 2s in our air quality versus level 1s just because of that lower threshold that they're going to be doing with it. And then the last thing is annual ADD invoicing. We will be starting our invoicing for fiscal year 2025 of our sources at the end of this month. This includes emission calculations, permit renewals, and mailing out invoices. And that usually tends to happen. We mail them out at mid-June so that they have them before their old permits expire and they have their new invoice so that the payment comes in our fiscal year 2024-25. And then financials through March 14th. Do you guys have any questions? Sorry, I know it was a lot of, lots of.
So do we ever get to like levels 4, 5, and 6 here?
We have when we've had wildfires.
Oh. Yeah, all right.
When you taste it.
You can taste it, yes. the school district,
I can see it too,
actually follows this chart. I have one specific for school district, for school activities, and when we've talked to the superintendent, they cut off at 150. So at 150, if their air purple air monitor that is installed at their schools is reading 150 or higher, all kids stay inside.
Well, I don't ever remember staying inside.
I know, right?
We made it, huh?
Yeah. Very good.
Any other questions?
Haven't they heard, aren't they familiar with the term go outside and get some fresh air?
Well, not when it's over 150. There's no fresh air, apparently.
It's over 50. Okay.
I thank you all for everything, and I rest assured that I am trying to do keep your district in good hands.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Being adjourned.